go for launch.
Five.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Anything can happen in the next half hour.
Four.
My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer.
This whole thing is insane.
Three.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
Where's the kaboom?
Two.
There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
One.
Yeah, so next thing I wanted improved was more things getting destroyed on camera. Unfortunately, I think this one dropped the ball again because, so yeah, that was a major complaint of mine.
But of course, it's not a real Godzilla movie, as it wasn't made in Japan.
It's almost impossible to properly review an entire season of Star Trek Discovery in a timely manner. Yes, there is the infinite amount of plot holes. There is the contrived and vapid storytelling. Signature, Alex Kurtzman. But this year, we added something new. Crying. Lots and lots of crying. Star Trek Discovery is a perfect failure. You have to try this hard to be this bad.
Greetings, my fellow galactic travelers, and welcome back to Planet 8. This is your mission commander, Larry, speaking to you from our hidden base. Chief Engineer Bob is here by my side as always in the command center, and circling Planet 8 in our orbital spy satellite is Reconnaissance Officer Karen.
And on this episode of Planet 8, we're going to talk hate, things we don't like. No, just kidding. Straight away, we're going to get into some fandom. You know, we read the tweets and the Facebook posts and the what the internet has to share with regards to fandom. And I'll be honest, I'm going to start this one off because I loved Godzilla Minus One and Godzilla Minus One Minus Color. I mean, that was just... I wasn't excited about Godzilla X Kong. I watched the Monarch TV show on, not Amazon, on Apple.
Apple TV Plus.
And it was good. I mean, if you haven't seen it, Kurt Russell, he still, and his son Wyatt, they, you know, Kurt has it. He's still got those acting chops. But, you know, Godzilla versus King Kong, I wasn't too crazy about it. My wife, Jasmine, Lieutenant Jasmine, she loved it. And I'm always the advocate, look, love what you're going to love. And if you don't love something, you don't have to. But no one should tell you what you should like, how much you should like it. But the three of us have discussions. And I was not looking forward to Godzilla X Kong. But it was one of the films that the three of us decided we would go see. And I got to see it a little later than the guys here. You guys saw it a week before I did, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went like opening night, and I need to go see it again, but we'll get into all this,
folks. Irony of all irony, so Bob's the one, you know, saying, because I'm like, I don't know, Godzilla running fast, running Kong holding on to his, you know, fin and riding Godzilla like into a stamp. Oh, come on. And they got a baby Kong, and what's with the elbow? And Bob's like, look, those early Godzilla films, you know, Jaguar and Smog Monster and, you know, Godzilla, here, my super Godzilla was doing a drop kick, you know. Godzilla did the, it was happy dance. And as I've said before, Godzilla was my first love of fandom, running up and down the block in my shorts and my cap, Godzilla. So I go in to watch Godzilla X Kong, not really having talked to Bob and Karen about it. And I watched it through the five-year-old mission commander eyes. And it's not the best Godzilla movie or movie, but it was fun. It was a good popcorn movie. It was funny. Jasmine jumped out of the seat when, spoiler alert, that Tree Sing ate the one pilot guy. He was like belting out orders. And look, what I thought, no man tears, you know, man tears have to be this level. It was right around here. It was good. But there's some young lady in the world putting a headband around her forehead, looking to the skies, pretending that there's a Mothra out there. You know, Godzilla is still out there. There have been, it could go like a decade and there was no Godzilla film. We had two films within like months of each other. What am I bitching and moaning about? Now, there are people on the internet who don't just dislike Godzilla X Kong. They hate it. Let me kick it to you guys. You both saw it. Karen, we'll start with you. What did you think of Godzilla X Kong, other than the title being, you know?
Yeah, I have my issues with the title, but I was kind of like you, Larry. I thought, well, you know, if I don't see it in the theater, it doesn't bother me, whatever. But surprisingly, my partner wanted to go see it, so we went and saw it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like about a third of the way through, and I'm like, this is so incredibly goofy. But I started feeling like, this is like how I felt when I was a little kid and I was sitting there in front of the TV watching Destroy All Monsters. And it was like, it's totally fantasy. It's just, you have to just let go of everything. And it's totally like, you know, here's a, you know, a monster here and a monster and Mothra. When Mothra showed up, I was like, holy cow, it's Mothra, you know, and, you know, it's like, oh. And I was thinking, this is so great because there's going to be these little kids now who have these movies, just like I had those movies in the 70s, you know, where I could go, holy God, Godzilla and Rodan and Monster Zero, and, you know, and I totally bought into it. And you're right. It's not a great movie, right? It's not. But it was a good popcorn movie, and I was surprised how much I actually enjoyed it. So I was like you, when I got out of the theater and I started reading some stuff, I had no idea how divided the fan base was, and that there were these folks on one side who just hated all the legendaries. It was just like, no, that's crap, and Godzilla Minus One is a masterpiece, and this stuff is, you know, just ruining Godzilla's reputation and all this. So yeah, it was rather shocking to me, the degree of hatred for that movie.
Bob.
Yes. Well, I mean, I did go into it, you know, expecting a 1970s Showa type movie. So I wasn't totally taken aback by any goofy stuff that took place. I saw that if you go on YouTube, there's a discussion between Adam Wingard, the director of Godzilla versus Kong and Godzilla X Kong, and Takashi Yamazaki, who was the director of Godzilla Minus One, discussing their films. And they were asked, like, what are your favorite Godzilla films? So Yamazaki, he says, Godzilla 54, GMK, and Shin Godzilla. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see where he's coming from, where Godzilla in all three was pretty much a force of nature, you know, attacking mankind, you know, evil guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adam Wingard, he comes in and says his favorites are like Destroy All Monsters, Smog Monster, and, you know, he loves the 70s Godzilla films. Mm. So that's what he was making. And that's what he was aiming for, and that's what we got. Mm-hmm. So I love all the 70s Godzilla films. I love the 54, I love all of them. And, you know, it was kind of weird, you know, Godzilla X Kong, I don't want to say I didn't like it. I definitely didn't love it. It was just kind of there. And it's fine. You know, okay, you got these two movies that are so diametrically opposed to each other. But, okay, you know, you've got two flavors of Godzilla out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it keeps it going, that's a good thing. You mentioned Monarch. Monarch basically has been renewed for season two.
Right.
And then Apple TV Plus announces, depending on where you're reading it or whatever, up to like 7 spinoff series from the legendary Monsterverse. Where are they going to get all these 7 ideas? I mean, it's not going to be Godzilla and everyone. You know, you may get Kong in 1 or 2. You get Godzilla. Maybe it's going to be another Titan. You know, maybe they're going to bring back Pacific Rim. I mean, who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah.
And they might have just thrown out a number. Like, oh, we're going to do 7 of these. It may turn out to be 4, but who knows?
Right.
You know, it's all entertainment. It's all good. It's like there was a dry period for decades where we did not see any giant monsters on the big screen.
Right.
Well, now we got a bunch of giant monsters on the big screen and the small screen. So why not enjoy it? But as you said, there are sites, people that hate the legendary films. Now, there's a lot of hate also for the 2019 Godzilla King of the Monsters, which I really like a lot. I guess it helped that we had Michael Dougherty as a guest at Godzilla Fest, and we got to sit and watch it with him. And it was just, the whole evening was this big experience. But it's funny because they talk about the characters. The characters aren't interesting. But they have other posts where they're talking about the monsters being the main thing. And the characters just move the plot along. But they'll complain about it because the characters aren't interesting. Or they'll complain about the fact that it's CG. Oh, Godzilla must be a man in a suit. But guess what? Shin Godzilla and Godzilla Minus One are both CG. They're not men in suits. So even the Japanese studios are flowing along and going, you know, going in that direction. So I doubt if you will ever see a Godzilla movie with a man in a suit anytime soon.
Yeah.
You have to watch Ultraman for a while.
You know, and in a way, that point is kind of sad. It's the end of an era. But, you know, with Godzilla X Kong, one of the things I kind of had fun with was them jumping around on those rocks because gravity was off in that cavern, and they're it's almost like an air ballet. And Godzilla was very good at floating around. I don't think they could have done that with men in suits.
Well, to some of the things. There's that big Godzilla leap in Godzilla versus Megaguirus.
Yeah.
It looks like a Thanksgiving Day balloon as he like jumps up in the air and comes down on him. I thought it would have been cool if they just showed him jump and then they cut to him landing on Megaguirus. It cut out the floating balloon scene, but
I mean,
anything's possible. Put him on some wires and off he goes. But
yeah, the other thing I liked with the CG was how Godzilla was powering up for the battle, and you know, it was kind of reminiscent of Godzilla versus Destoroyah when he was going nuclear. You know,
it's more reminiscent, really, of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, where he's standing on Monster Island and getting hit by the lightning.
Right.
And he puts himself into a giant magnet to draw in Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you know, again, visually, it was pretty impressive. One of the things, I wonder if it was an homage to Ray Harryhausen, was Godzilla sleeping in the Colosseum. I mean, and it looked pretty cool, too.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
So much like Godzilla fandom and their love and hatred for whatever film, we're also discussing that this really is not specific to Godzilla.
No, not at all.
This happens in Star Trek fandom, Star Wars fandom. It happens in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, I'm sure it happens in the DC universe as well.
Oh, I know it happens in the DC universe. I had a couple of discussions.
Let me tell you something. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like movies are, well, like I say, Godzilla versus Godzilla X Kong. It wasn't my favorite, but I don't hate it. I'm kind of in the middle. Nobody seems to be in the middle anymore.
Right. Did you notice that there was
hate something, or they, you know, passionately, you know, promote it? But there doesn't seem to be a middle ground. It's either love or hate these days.
Right, right. Did you notice there wasn't no Godzilla theme song in that film?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, right, yeah, that's kind of dun 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 dun.
Well, thinking about the extremes, I mean, you could say it follows what we see with people politically too.
True.
There's a lot of extremism politically, and you know, people are sort of in a my way or the highway kind of mode. And I also think that social media has enabled that, right? Because you're not talking to somebody face to face, so you can come off as a bully, or you can go over the top and say, well, you know, this thing is the greatest thing ever, or this thing is the biggest piece of crap ever, because you don't actually have to say it to a real person and have a real discussion with them. You just, you know, say whatever you please.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing too, though, is, and I kind of touched on this before we started recording, there was a time way back when, probably pre-internet, where if you wanted to be a movie critic, you went to school, you studied film, mm-hmm. you studied journalism, you probably majored in English or literature, and then you went out and you got a job with a newspaper and you typed up your reviews or went on TV and, you know, like Bob Shaw on Channel 2 here, and give you reviews. Now, anybody with a keyboard and a social media account can review a movie. And people seem to forget that what they're saying is their opinion. And they state it like it's a dead fact. And if you disagree with it, well, woe be to you, because you're going to get stomped on by, you know, not just the author, but his minions and whoever's following him. So it's very hard to sometimes, you know, if you're totally engulfed in that stuff, it makes it really hard to enjoy a movie. And maybe it's a movie that you really like, but everybody's harping on it so much that, well, you know, maybe it's not that good, you know? And so it makes it hard for people sometimes to form honest opinions with themselves.
Well, and I think that kind of kills some movies before they even have a chance. You know, that's happened with some of the Marvel films recently, like the second Captain Marvel movie, the Marvels movie. I mean, there was so much hate towards that movie before it came out. And, you know, I went and saw it. Was it the greatest movie? No, but it wasn't a bad movie. I thought it was enjoyable. You know, I didn't see all the hate, why all the hate was directed towards it. But a lot of that hate has to do, and this is the thing that gets me about some of this stuff in fandom, is that some of the hate is really either misogyny, racism, homophobia, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of ugliness that's going on that's directed at movies and shows. And they'll try to disguise it and call it other things. But, you know, I think there's a lot of that's going on.
There was an interview with Brie Larson, and it wasn't about Captain Marvel or the MCU or whatever. She was in like some other movie, and it was getting bad reviews and all this other stuff. And she stated that this movie was not made for white males. Or so, that's not an exact quote, but you know, something along those lines. And ever since then, there's like a huge part of fandom, or at least a vocal part of fandom, that just hates her. And I think those are the ones that lead the charge when it comes to like the Marvels. It's not that they don't like the movie. They don't like her. And she's the star of the movie. So,
That is unfortunate. I'm going to name a movie that recently came out and bombed terribly. And I'll get into the reason why I didn't go see it and probably won't go see it. But if any of you listening saw the movie and loved it, like I said, love what you love. Screw everybody else. I'll go to my grave loving Batman versus Superman. Said it. I want to look at Karen and Bob's face. Madam Webb.
Yes.
Did you have seat?
No, I did not go see it, but it wasn't so much because it was woke or it was a bunch of female superheroes.
Uh-huh.
For me, it was more like, you know, I grew up reading Spider-Man almost religiously. Madam Webb was, she almost looked like Aunt May on a throne. She was like this old withered woman.
Right.
On a throne, and she was controlling, you know, all these different webs of reality or whatever you want to call them. She wasn't like, you know, a young actress running around with spider women everywhere. It was like, it just was not Madame Web. And Sony's making some good Spider-Man movies, but these spinoffs like Morbius or Madam Web, you know, Venom is okay, but it's just not clicking.
Well, they're like blatant cash grabs, right? Yeah. And they're just so clunky. I mean, I tried to watch Morbius on TV and I got about less than 15 minutes in and it was just so crappy. I mean, and then the trailers for Madam Web, again, like Bob, it's like I read Spider-Man, I know all these characters. It's like they're not supposed to be headlining a movie, okay? It's just, you know, if you had Spider-Man in the movie and these characters were the villains or supporting characters, I'm there. But I don't need to see a Kraven origin movie or a Morbius origin movie or whoever else they want to roll out there, right? It just feels to me like, yes, they want to build their own Spider-Man universe. It's like,
well, see, they're building it without Spider-Man though. That's the thing that threw me off.
Right.
How can you have Venom, a creature that shoots webs, that's an alien parasite that has spider sense because it's a parasite and it took that from Peter Parker, right? And I have Peter Parker part of the story. And I've seen both of the Venom films and I don't think Tom Hardy does a particularly good job. And I don't think the stories were very compelling. But that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I refuse to watch Morbius. Why? Spider-Man's not in it. He should be in it. Kraven, not going to go see. Until so Bob...
What kills me about Kraven is there was that whole storyline, which was such an excellent comic, where Kraven hunts Spider-Man, shoots him with poison, and buries him alive.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man has to dig himself out of the grave and all that. And it's such a good storyline. I want to see a movie of that. I don't want to see Kraven on his own. I want to see him with Spider-Man in that storyline.
Well, I was going to say, unless Bob convinces me to go see that Kraven movie with six-year-old Commander Eyes, I'm not going to go see that Kraven movie. It doesn't sound like he's going to tell me that.
Well, the Kraven movie stars Aaron Taylor Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Who is your new James Bond?
Yeah.
He's not my James Bond.
Well, he's everybody's James Bond at some point when they start. But
hate! Hate! Anyway.
like I said, I don't, you know, like I said, the Venom movies, they were okay. I'm not going to hate them. And people, if they love them, they love them. We've had discussions about movies, even beyond Batman vs. Superman, where one of us will like it, one of us will not like it. But, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, people are imprinting their impressions on these films before they even come out.
Yeah.
You see a movie trailer, and suddenly there's all these comments, like Godzilla X Kong. You know, when Godzilla powers up, he's pink. And supposedly on the radioactive spectrum, pink is like way up there. But because he was pink in the trailer, everyone started throwing around the term woke. Oh, this movie's going to be woke. And so it was like hated before it even hit the movie screen. And, you know, same, like I say, the Marvels, they see Brie Larson in a trailer and, oh God, it's no good. I was reading an article online today about how woke movies are killing Disney.
Oh, geez.
It's like, people don't really understand what woke means, but they throw it around as a derogatory term for anything that forces an agenda on you or what have you. But, and I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, I think they're sitting waiting in the weeds for something to come up that they can just jump on and start throwing the term around, or, you know, they're going to hate it. Some people are hearing rumors about things and they, oh, that's going to suck. Who knows? You know, it might be good, but.
Oh, you know, something like Dune 1 and Dune 2. I wasn't a big fan of the original Dune movie and I never read the books. And, you know, other than Zendaya, I don't know any of the actors that were in 1 and 2. Didn't go see it, didn't plan to go see it. I haven't seen it. I don't hate them. I don't knock them. I just don't have an opinion on them. Some people have seen them and love them. And you know, there's rumor of a Dune 3. That's cool. I'm not against it. It just
came with Avatar. I saw the first Avatar. I have no desire whatsoever to see any subsequent films, but
yeah.
It's just not my thing. Dune, I watched like the first 20 minutes of the first, not the 80s, but the first new Dune movie. And I just sat there thinking, man, I am so bored. I cannot watch the rest of this.
Well,
and so I just, it's just not my thing. I'm not going to say it's a bad movie. I'm not going to say that, you know, gender. Not my thing.
That's the thing, right? Though the hate only comes for something that you actually maybe love, right? So it's like stuff like Dune, and I watched both of them. I enjoyed them. It's not going to hit the top of any of my lists, but, you know, it was fine. But like thinking about stuff that like you only get that worked up when it's something you actually care about. Right. So,
yeah, I mean, I got bored by Dune, but I could care less really about it. So
it didn't
offend me.
Exactly. Cause you're just kind of middle of the road and it's like, oh, it could be either like, oh, that was a nice diversion, or like, oh, that bored the crap out of me, but there's no strong emotions there. These people are having strong emotions probably because they actually, like the Godzilla fans, right? They love Godzilla. They care about Godzilla, but they can't, for whatever reason, like the legendary stuff just infuriates them. And I'll admit, like we've talked before about Star Trek on here.
I was going to bring that up because I wanted to see the passion in you, buddy.
I don't care for Discovery or Strange New Worlds.
But why? It's, you know, Star Trek.
I don't think they're particularly well written, and I don't think they really understand Star Trek.
And Star Trek being the original series. Those stories?
The original series, Next Generation. I mean, there's a feeling of camaraderie, exploration, that sort of joy of discovering the cosmos, all that kind of stuff. I feel like especially Discovery had none of that as far as I was concerned. Also just terrible science writing, just an overall writing. So it did nothing for me. And in Strange New Worlds, it just seems like they've tried to turn into, hey, what Star Trek character can we bring back and put on the series? And what, you know, what goofy thing can we steal from Buffy? We'll do a musical episode and we'll do a cartoon crossover. It's just too gimmicky. You know, it's just...
Let me tell you, too, I'm remiss in that we don't have Lord Bloodroth for this segment. Because he and I will have, we'll talk or text offline, especially Strange New Worlds, because I'm the same with Walker there. I don't know what they're trying to do with Discovery, but it's not. You could call it just Discovery. It doesn't have to be Starfleet, and they can tell their own little stories. And it wouldn't. It's just not Star Trek. Star Trek, like all the things that Karen said, and it was just good storytelling. There were like life lessons within these episodes, you know, that rang true and still ring true today. Jasmine's friend May and her husband John. May had never seen the original series. And how wonderful was that, that John got to watch those episodes through new eyes. You know, same with the Next Generation. What May walked away from the Kirk era episode was the Kirk slap. Whoosh. She really got a kick every time Kirk got to slap someone and Spock just gave him a pinch, or, you know, had to punch. It's a beautiful thing that new generations can discover these older shows with new eyes and still get it. It still works today. I don't know that Discovery's going to have that kind of longevity.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to Strange New Worlds, Lord Bloodroth, I would say I can't believe they brought, spoiler alert, I can't believe they brought in Scotty, and Lotka's wife is his mentor. Because the actress's name eludes me right now.
I know who you're talking about.
And Lord Bloodroth would be, oh, well, no, but you see, Montgomery Scott, and he got it, he understood it, he accepted it. And I almost wanted to question his Star Trek membership credentials and be like, well, Mr. Lord Bloodroth, because he loves, I can't stand Chris Chapel. I can't stand Nurse Chapel. The actress is fine. I don't send hate mail or anything. She's an attractive, intelligent, good actress. But that's not
Nurse Chapel.
Nurse Chapel.
I like her, but
we were
right. It's a complete rewrite of Nurse Chapel. They could have just made a new character.
Yeah, and they're.
You know, why didn't they just make new characters that we could have? Oh, we can have brand new characters to enjoy.
That's Nurse Jones.
See, in Star Trek.
You know, Nurse.
Right. With the original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, it was always about moving forward and having new things, right? It was always moving forward. Now, Enterprise, they went way back into the past, right? But everything else was moving forward. And now with all this stuff they've done with Star Trek since they came up with Discovery, all these series are about going back and digging up the bones, you know, and living off the bones of the old stuff. It's like, just, that's fine. We all love that stuff, but just do new things, you know, come up with new characters, be in the future. That's what drives me crazy. But I will say, I don't hate it. Some people love it. That's fine. I just have chosen not to watch it anymore. And I'm not going to go online and say, this is all crap and you people are idiots. And, you know, I'm just
going on a podcast and say that.
Well, yeah, I can say I don't think it's good. But I'm not going to sit there and, you know, bomb somebody's feed or something.
All right. Let's leave Star Trek alone for a little bit.
Oh, do we
Now, you guys could probably explain this better than me, but explain to me, as if I knew nothing, the hatred of the Star Wars sequel movies.
Mm.
The ones made under Disney.
Yes.
The ones with Rey and all.
Well, you had...
I know there was like Rose, and there was a lot of people that just have prejudice and don't like her.
Mm-hmm.
But what was it that was so bad about these movies that got everybody so riled up to this day?
You had a woman and a black man, and that upset some people as lead characters. And then a lot of people went on and on about how, well, Rey could do all these things and she didn't have any training. It's like Luke did a bunch of things and he didn't have any training.
I was thinking that exact same thing. I was talking to some friends over the weekend. Like, what training did Luke have? He was on Dagobah for a week, you know?
I mean, I would agree that I feel like that first movie, Force Awakens, mirrored the original Star Wars film a little too much. You know, it had a lot of the same beats and everything. And then I just think it just kind of fell apart because they brought in different directors who wanted to go different ways. And then what, Rian Johnson came in for the second one, and he was sort of like, he was like, I'm going to deconstruct Star Wars. And then they bring in, what's his name, who did the Star Trek movies?
J.J. Abrams.
And then he was like, well, no, I'm going to get rid of everything he did and do and go back this way. So it I don't think it hangs together very well as a story, but I don't have any problem with the characters that they put in there.
I have a problem with how they underused Luke Skywalker.
Oh, I do disagree. Yeah, I don't like the way they used Luke.
And he meets his demise with an overdose of the Force.
Yeah, I wish they had not made him lose all his hope and give up on everything and become so cynical. That bothered me. But I think a lot of people who complain about the sequels, some of them are just complaining about the story, and I would agree with that. But the ones who complain about Rey, I think there's a lot of sexism going on. I'll just say that, and people can say whatever they think about that. I think some people complained about Finn, and there might have been some racism going on there. I don't know, but it's like, why can't we have... I mean, we had Lando. Why do you have a problem with Finn? And in general, what I hear from a lot of these guys who talk about Disney Star Wars, I've seen it written out like, oh, here's another thing where we don't even have a white male character for my kids to look at or my son to look at or whatever. And it's just like, oh my God, dude, you know, I grew up, all the science fiction shows that I watched, all the comic, almost all of them were all white male characters, but I could still relate even though that wasn't who I was. So I think your kids are going to be fine because we're all human beings and we can relate to other human beings. So, but there is a lot of that out there. If you read like a lot of this stuff, they're complaining that, oh, Disney's putting, like you were talking about, Bob, like their woke agenda because they're trying to have people of color in Star Wars. They're trying to have women in Star Wars. And, you know, it really upsets certain people.
Well, I think the thing too, and it's not specifically Star Wars or any of the films or genres we were talking about, but the same people that scream about the woke agenda and scream about, it's more race or gender swapping in films. So it's like, you know, if you're going to make The Little Mermaid black, or you're going to make, you know, and it seems to happen in almost every Disney movie now where they'll race swap or gender swap or whatever. And it's really kind of, you know, people have their certain vision of what something's like. And when you start changing that or messing around with it, then, you know, that sparks something in some people. You know, so, and there's a whole thing where it's like, I know, like, in Star Wars, certain fandoms were always assuming certain storylines or presenting storylines, whether it be in fan fiction, what have you. And so when the movies came out and didn't use any of those storylines, they went in a totally different direction. Well, they don't know what they're doing. They suck. This movie is terrible. So it's like, okay, well, these people are creating it. You're just mimicking it. So who's, you know, who's right?
There was an actress, Asian actress, in the last three Star Wars movies, and I can't think of her name. She was a potential love interest for Finn. And she got so much shit on the internet. She closed her Instagram, you know, poor thing. I don't know if she went to counseling. That has no place, no place in fandom. And, you know, I'll leave that there. Look, The last trilogy of films versus the episode 1, 2, and 3, people hated on 1, 2, and 3, and even Hayden Christensen. Oh, he can't act, and he can't. And these actors, even Ewan McGregor, they're like, we couldn't figure out why they hated our Star Wars movies. I didn't hate them. I didn't care for Jar Jar Binks that much. But my niece Kayla, those are her Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. She loves those films and the actors that were in them. The Daniel Logan, who played young Boba Fett, she has the biggest crush on him. I love Carrie Fisher. Why do you want to come down on something that someone cares about? And that's why I say, you know what? I don't like this. I don't care. I don't like you. No, don't.
Well, you know, not every movie is made for you. And
exactly.
A friend of mine had a nephew or a grandson, I can't remember which, that had a handicap.
Mm-hmm.
And wore a brace. And suddenly, Godzilla Against Kong or Godzilla X Kong, Kong has a brace on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And his nephew or whatever thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. Because now here's a hero, a character that had a brace just like him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if his was on the arm, but, you know, it's just the fact that it was a brace. And so, yeah, I mean, there's probably a lot of kids that really liked that part of the movie or that aspect of Kong that everybody else is like, he's got this stupid thing on his arm.
You know, I'll say this about Star Wars, whether it's the first three, the original three, or the latter three. The first episode 1, 2, and 3, I think they aged very well. I think with the addition of the animated series, The Clone Wars, where they fleshed out Anakin and Obi-Wan's relationship, what's going on in the Jedi Order, introducing Ahsoka as a Padawan, gave more layers, I think, than the original three movies. And I like them. I've watched them several times. I own them. The latter three, I own two. I didn't get the third.
But why?
Well, because I thought it was lazy storytelling. I had a problem with the way they got rid of Han Solo. I had a problem with how they underutilized Luke.
And somehow Palpatine returned.
And look, I haven't seen it since it originally came out. So I should, you know, watch it again. Sometimes I see things two or three times after I originally watched them. And I'm like, oh, I get it now. Look, Disney, that's their Star Wars. So you got a theme park or a land in the theme parks in Florida. And in Anaheim, I rode Rise of the Resistance. It's amazing. I mean, in the 1960s, when they brought out Pirates of the Caribbean, my grandfather was amazed at how, you know, the pirates moved. And let me tell you, how they create the lightsabers and the space battle. And I don't want to spoil the ride if you haven't ridden Rise of the Resistance, but there's AT-ATs, full-size AT-ATs. How? I don't know. Fun story, true story. Jazz and I are going on this ride with a group of people, about 15 of us, and Jazz and I get separated. And the whole Rise of the Resistance is that you're, the story is you're rebels and you're being separated from your home. And she's like, that's my husband. And I'm like, I will miss you forever. They're like character. And we went our separate ways and stuff. But, you know, you can go in there and buy blue milk, build a lightsaber, build a droid, fly the Millennium Falcon. And they're going to do three more movies, or at least one with Ray. I don't know who's attached to direct.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I think you have something when you're talking about over time, like with the prequels. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, I didn't really care for the prequels. But then I had an office mate who was a young 30-something, late 20s, early 30-something, and yeah, he was a big Star Wars fan, but it was all of the prequels, you know, and we'd talk about Star Wars and he'd, you know, say something and I'd go, well, I don't remember that. Oh, that was in, you know, Attack of the Clones or whatever. And then he talked about Star Wars and I said, oh, that didn't, he's like, that wasn't how it was originally. And I'm like, no, Han never met Jabba in A New Hope in the original Star Wars. He's like, oh, I didn't know that, you know. So you realize over time that, you know, yeah, you can share a love for a thing and maybe it's not exactly the same love for it, but you guys both, you know, you speak the same language, essentially, just different dialects.
Right. And I know we moved on from Star Trek, but I forgot a point. I hate it because it was very poorly written. The same actors were there from The Next Generation, but Picard season one perplexed me. I enjoyed the first episode, Parts with Data, and the last episode of season one with Data and how they gave Data closure, if you will.
And then they brought him back.
Well, in the second season, they didn't bring Data back, but it was once again one of Data's ancestors who were not really good, but not really well. They were bad. And there was time travel, and they so underutilized John Delancey's Q. And we've talked, you know, Patrick Stewart, you know, being involved in the direction of Jean-Luc in the second season and the lack of relationship with his father and abuse and not taken away from that. But, and then the final season, season three of Picard, brought back my Star Trek heart on. Oh, did I say that? Sorry.
I didn't need to. That's an image I don't really need in my head.
The thing that struck me about the third season was, why couldn't this have been a Riker series?
Is that Dan Hartley was.
Patrick Stewart's getting a little long in the tooth. Not that Jonathan Frakes isn't getting older, but you just look at the way Jonathan Frakes carried himself and the way that he captained the ship, even telling Picard, you've killed us all.
Yes.
I mean, that was some pretty heavy stuff. I know he was in season one a little bit, but I was thinking, man, I want a Riker series.
That was definitely the best Riker performance he ever gave. And
I agree.
He was given some really meaty stuff to work with. Plus, you know, he and Picard were more as equals at that point in time. So he was able to behave a little bit differently with Picard.
I saw some interviews with Frakes and he's like, I hadn't acted in I don't know how long. He's been doing a lot of directing. And the script was just so compelling, he couldn't resist. And, you know, his wife's an actress, and you know, he was asking, she's like, you're crazy, do it. And thank God he did, because that, hey, look, Picard season three, yes, they bring back Data, and they managed to create a body for Data's soul, if you will, that's middle-aged, has a pot belly, and has a receding hairline, because the actor has a pot belly receding hair.
You know, what
I was okay with it. I'm like, okay, old Data, I get it.
We all enjoyed that. I think all three of us here enjoyed season three. And most of the people who are contemporaries also really enjoyed season three. But I will tell you, I've read things from younger Star Trek fans, the folks who are fans of like Discovery, Strange New Worlds, who like they don't want to see, you know, a continuation of that, like a Star Trek legacy. They don't want to see a continuation. They didn't enjoy it that much. That's not their thing, right? So, you know, we can be sitting here going like, oh, they need to jump on this and they need to, you know, do a series with, you know, Seven of Nine as a captain and Picard's son and blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of fans out there who that's not what they're into. They got into Star Trek with Discovery and they don't want to see that. They want to see more.
Let me ask you guys, how did you feel about Picard season one and season two?
I hated it.
Excited for.
I didn't hate them. Again, I was kind of in the middle, but it just didn't strike me. You know, where it's like, oh, I've got to see the next episode. Oh, I got to come back. Oh, what's going to happen next? Season three, though, I did look forward to, you know, each new episode and what was going to happen. So,
yeah. And as for, you know, I guess it's like reverse hate, because those of us that grew up on that version of Star Trek or that Star Wars don't understand why people like the other iterations of the show or the series. You know, if, like I say, if you like something, like it. If you don't. A lot of people are poo-pooing the Ahsoka series and Obi-Wan. I know we've had discussions before about the Bad Batch, which is entering its final season. There's only a few episodes, if only one episode left. And I think it's amazing. I love the Bad Batch.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
I'll have to catch up with that.
Four episodes I just could not watch anymore.
And that's...
It's just me.
It's okay.
Video game animation, I'm just not into.
I know Debbie and Michael and I can have a conversation about the Bad Batch.
Well, if you guys want to do a Bad Batch episode, I'll have them like sub in for me.
But... we're getting towards the end of this podcast, but before we get into the end of the podcast, I'm not a fan of the new Planet of the Apes movies, but we decided we're all going to go see the next
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So pray for me, viewers. what is it, like 100 years from
Caesar? New Year's Eve. Debbie and I binged our way through the first three films. Was it Rise and War and Dawn or whatever? Dawn and War, whatever they.
Yeah.
It should have been. They should have started with Dawn and then Rise and then War. But I don't know. I feel like
there's such a problem watching Woody Allen as a badass. I see him as Woody from the Cheers bar every time. Woody Harrelson. Sorry.
I was like, Woody Allen was in those movies? I don't know what to do with these apes.
Yeah, man. You ever watch Zombieland?
Did I watch Zombieland? Yeah, but he wasn't a bad guy. He was an asshole.
Well, yeah, it was close.
Yeah.
He shot people. I mean, or zombies.
Zombies. He killed Bill Murray.
I don't know. I thought he was an effective, like, head case military guy. So, I don't know. I just rewatched the first one. Last week, and I'm going to try and get through the other two before we go see it.
Yeah, John Lithgow gave a very good performance. Very sad.
Yeah, I saw that movie in the theater, and I hadn't watched it again until we did this binge on New Year's Eve. Just because of the whole Alzheimer's angle, and I've had way too much of that in my life, so it was just hard to watch. But he did, you know, and that's just the fact that he gave a good performance.
He did.
Of a man with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just hit home a little too hard.
Yeah.
That film tied in a little more tightly to the original series, you know, at the end when they showed how the plague was spreading and stuff. It kind of worked better. And then they kind of did their own universe thing after that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I don't know. Maybe I should watch it again. It didn't work for me, but we'll see.
We'll watch the new one and we'll do an episode. And
we'll
get Lord Bloodraw on and we'll talk about the four films with emphasis on Kingdom. But,
you know, the originals, we're always going to be looking at them through the haze of nostalgia.
True.
You know, so we're always going to love those movies the most. But I do respect and like what they've done with these new films, because they've taken them in a different direction, and it's interesting, and they're not, you know, beating the past to death, you know. So I
appreciate. Let me ask you guys, you know, because you have more of an affinity than I do. What was the issue with the, what's his name? Jack Skellington, Beetlejuice director. Burton.
Burton.
His version of Planet of the Apes. Did you like it, hate it, indifferent?
I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's one that I probably will never go back and revisit, but luckily they redeemed themselves with the newer movies. But
yeah, it's kind of a show.
It was his take. And Tim Burton, my daughter loves anything Tim Burton, but for me, he's kind of hit and miss. Some of his films are really good.
Yeah.
Other films maybe don't quite hit the mark.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Burton fan.
I think Planet of the Apes really hit the mark.
But. Okay.
And it's too bad, because the makeup in that movie is really good.
On the Zira character, the makeup was really minimal.
Well, but some of the other characters, I mean, the guy who did the Holdovers? Paul Giamatti is in
Paul
that.
Paul Giamatti.
Thinking orangutan. And it's like, wow, that's a great makeup. So it's too bad. And I haven't gone back to watch it again because, I don't feel like it holds together very well. And like, it's got Mark Wahlberg. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
That's a big negative in my view.
Tim Burton film, Beetlejuice 2 off the Planet 8 list.
I sort of want to see Beetlejuice 2 just to see what Michael Keaton is going to do in that. He's a pretty amazing actor. So, but yeah, after all these years, he's doing Beetlejuice 2. Oh my God, you've got Larry's holding up a Beetlejuice sign.
Yes, for those of you not on YouTube.
So I guess he's a fan.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Michael Keaton has said as much. He's one of his favorite performances ever. So, okay, well, let me see. I think we covered everything we wanted to cover. Let's jump into this episode's censor sweep. Who'd like to kick it off? Do you want to bring up the end, or do you want to start it off? Or you got big news?
I can bring up the end.
Okay. All right. Walker?
All right. Well,
I was impressed with your censor sweep item.
I actually have something.
YouTube, please enjoy. Those of you not on YouTube, switch over to YouTube and you'll see what.
I don't know that it's all that exciting to look at. I actually have something new, though. I have a rather large book called MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios.
That's a big one.
It's a big one. It's written by
that baby.
This I looked at this the other day. It actual pages that you need to read before it gets into notes is 452 pages, but I've had it for a little over like a week, week and a half, and I'm already more than halfway through it. So it reads pretty quickly, but it's a very informative book as far as understanding like all the details about, you know, what was going on with Marvel at the time when they actually started the Marvel Studios. You know, there was bankruptcy issues and like they had already sold the rights to, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men, and what did they have left and how did they finagle that and who did they bring in to run the studio and just all this stuff all the way through all the movies. It goes, I think it goes all the way up to maybe beginning of phase four or somewhere around there. So it's pretty interesting to see like how some of the decisions were made and then how some of the things sort of happened accidentally. Like for instance, the inclusion of Thanos in the Avengers film at the end, that wasn't part of a big plan. That was just Joss Whedon saying, you know, I need to have somebody who gave this army to Loki, because somehow there has to be somebody behind this. Who would make sense? Oh, Thanos. Let's throw Thanos in at the end. And then, of course, that, you know, snowballed. But it's a really good book, and I'd recommend it to anybody who wants to kind of understand how things worked to build that.
Well, it's on my list for sure.
There you go.
How much was that big old hardcover book?
Pardon?
How much was that big old hardcover book?
I think it retails for $35, but I got it for less than that off of Amazon.
That's a bargain for something.
That is.
So.
Black and white pictures in?
There be no pictures.
No pictures?
No pictures. You got to read the whole thing.
No wonder it's so cheap.
Maybe there's an audio book. It would be great if they had an audio book with somebody who could do Stan Lee's voice.
Well, you know, true believers.
And I said Robert Downey Jr. is the best choice.
Best choice. I was so happy. Cool. Your mission commander is unpacking. And unfortunately, Hero Collector no longer has this item available. They may reissue it. The company that issued it was Eagle Moss, and they've since gone bankrupt. And then their licenses have been acquired by another company. But the USCSS, those of you on YouTube are watching the box of the Nostromo. And my dear friends, this thing is beautiful. I forgot I purchased it. This is before we even moved in here, and I packed it, and that's why it was in the garage. Almost everything
is still
wrong.
Is it still in the box?
It is not.
Oh, he's going to show us the Nostromo.
The Nostromo.
That is so cool, dude.
You know, Eagle Moss, I'm showing the base now. It does these bases, and there's stickers on the bottom so you don't confuse which base goes with which ship. And this is a larger edition. The Eagle Moss initial ships were about 2 inches long. This sucker is amazing. I'm going to really get into here. The amount of detail.
9 or 10 inches long there?
This has got to be about 10 inches, I'd say.
That is really neat.
And so size does matter.
Well, with spaceships.
So this is really amazing. If you guys are able to find it, I apologize that it's not, you know, readily available to the collectors out there.
Available on eBay for a lot of money.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's probably the case. You can kind of see I have the alien face hugger back there on Captain America's shield. That sucker's life size. It kind of freaks Jasmine out. On the other side, it has like the little beak and the mandible. And that's from NECA, N-E-C-A. You can get that right now. So those of you that are Alien fans, and who knows, there's an Alien movie and TV show coming out nigh in the future. Maybe we'll
hope
do
it's stuff better on. Than Prometheus.
And then, let me tell you, that's a new one.
there was like 10 minutes left in the movie and they realized, oh crap, this is an alien movie. We got to put aliens in this thing.
Let's throw an alien in.
I know.
Instead of a big pale dude running around ripping people in half.
But if you love it, we salute you. That's your cup of tea. Before we jump over to Bob, I forgot. I read somewhere that Tim Kring is going to try to bring a new version of Heroes out. They're going to shop it around. I guess
really?
It's first bite at the apple. But this is going to be in a whole new crew. So, or Heroes. And
I actually enjoyed Heroes when it was on.
The first season. You know, this is before the MCU hit, so there was no like superhero groups out there. You know, I don't remember if the X-Men had hit yet or not, but
yeah,
a great series.
Yeah, there were X-Men movies out.
Yep.
Before that.
I think it was around, 2006, 2007?
I have a friend.
You have a friend?
Painted. From the Heroes series, this is Peter flying. That Mohinder had drawn a bunch of future visions of the Heroes, and anyway, Priscilla drew that and another thing. But now, enough with the product placement. Let's go over to Bob. What do you got to share with us, Bob? I hear some good news.
I do not have anything physical to show.
What the what?
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Now he's showing something, but anyway.
I got some news, and I've been teasing news for a while on the show. As of today, and I want to get the dates correct so I don't mess this up. But here we go. I have news, and the news is that this year's Godzilla Fest is a reality,
and
it is official now, but there's not only one Godzilla Fest, there's two, both happening in San Francisco, so don't take any imitations from outside the city. Just do yourself a favor and ignore those.
Well, what's the website they go to for information on that? Don't forget to share that, Bob.
Of course, they always go to BayAreaFilmEvents.com. Mm-hmm. Godzilla Fest in July will be the 19th through the 21st and will be happening at the Balboa Theater, where it always is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on films and details now. Kind of give you a hint. This year is the 70th anniversary of Godzilla.
Wow.
It's the 60th anniversary of King Ghidorah.
Mm.
And it's the 50th anniversary of Mechagodzilla.
Mm.
So those three will play prominently in this. And I'm sure we'll probably get minus one in there. Maybe minus one, minus color. And then... Now, we have to nail down the dates, but Japantown, Japan Center Mall in San Francisco, has committed to a Godzilla Fest that we will be working on.
Cool.
And this thing is not going to be like our usual show with a couple of vendors in the lobby and a bunch of movies. This is going to be a full-blown convention.
Mm.
Dealer's room, meet and greet, guests, films at the Kabuki Theater, panels, everything. This is going to be, we are graduating to an actual convention.
Wow.
And hopefully my daffy buddy Bob Bavon and I, we have a Zoom call with Japantown next week. So hopefully by the next episode, we'll have dates and maybe some, a few more details ironed out and put down in the books. So keep an eye on BayAreaFilmEvents.com. You get on our website, you can get on our mailing list. And you'll get the latest and greatest on both Godzilla Fests for this year. 70th anniversary of Godzilla, and it's going to be huge. Real, the original, except no substitutes, Godzilla Fest.
Night.
Be there or be square. Very cool. Very exciting news. Well, my friends, this brings us to the end of another Planet 8 episode. And you're very fortunate. We didn't know if we'd last 15 minutes on this one, let alone a full hour. So winner, winner, chicken dinner.
We had a lot of filler here.
We had a, yeah. And by the way, keep those kids off the lawn since we're complaining about things. No, in all seriousness, you guys, we appreciate you listening, tuning in, make some comments, put some comments out there on social media accounts, on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know maybe some of the films that you thought were really great and everyone else didn't. You know, the last Matrix movie, well, the second and third Matrix movie as well as the fourth. But, you know, hey, look, some people love the Speed Racer movie.
Speed Racer. Some people
don't. It, there you go. Yeah. Zardoz. I mean, there's something for everyone.
The gun is good.
Honorina diaper. What more do you want?
And on that note, this is Planet 8 signing off. Take care of yourselves. Peace out.
On that note, this will conclude this transmission from Planet 8. We would like to thank all of our intergalactic audience for listening. Be sure to head on over to our website at www.planet8podcast.com, where you can get more information on this episode's topic.
For more conversation, find us on Twitter at Planet 8 Cast.
Or on Facebook at facebook.com/Planet 8 Podcast.
We want to thank you guys for tuning in each and every episode. We look forward to your input and opinions. Until next time, this is Planet 8 signing off. End transmission.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.